This is the UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado, a Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's Mike Rice.
We are live at the GOAT, and it's great to be back at the GOAT Sports Bar, 46th Avenue and Center Place in Greeley. And welcome in to the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show. It's good to be back. It is good to talk some basketball, and that's what we are going to do tonight with women's coach Kristen Mateo and men's coach Steve Smiley. We're here from 6 to 7. They've got the specials going. They've got terrific food. They've got the drink specials and pretty much any game you would want. Hockey, college basketball, Nuggets are coming up later on tonight. They have it right here at the GOAT. And so we will go ahead and welcome in the UNC Bears women's basketball coach, Kristen Mateo. Good to see you.
Mike, it's good to be here.
Yeah, let me just do this. Let me just put that mic up just a little bit. And, well, right in the thick of the whole season, how would you evaluate it so far?
Well, we are right in the thick of everything. We just got back from a road trip from Air Force, which was a great trip for us. We didn't get the result that we wanted. We have two games here before Christmas break. So it's like, you know, we've played several games now. We've actually had some people out of rotation. So we missed about three people. We had everybody back this week, which will be nice. But it's been, you know, we have our two main leading players and scorers, which is Delaney Byrne and Hannah Simmental, that have really kind of helped propel our team. And then we still have this youthfulness around. And players that are giving us a lot of great minutes and still learning and growing. So it's been an exciting season. Every week I say there's something new that's popping up, and we have a good team. They're fun to be around. And, you know, we've only actually really gone on two road trips this fall together as a team. So just looking forward to, you know, as we get down the road into conference play, the real meat of everything that
right.
we're doing.
Yeah, it's always about conference, but you took care of the not being on the road pretty well. You're in the start. Your Air Force game was the start of five in a row away from Greeley.
Yeah, and for us, because we fly everywhere, you know, playing Air Force or, you know, in about a week and a half we go to Boulder and play Colorado. Those actually don't feel like road trips to us.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you can go down and back pretty quickly. So it'll be, you know, we're excited. We'll be excited to get back home, but over this Christmas break, there's a lot of people traveling in a way anyway, so let's get these road trips out of the way and then bring everybody back to the bank after the holidays.
Yeah, but there is, and I've talked to Coach Smiley about this, there is some benefit, obviously, to playing on the road. You get that bonding, right? You get that experience together. The staff and the players can interact. The players can kind of bond a little bit. That's worth something, I would think, during the course of the
Absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely. It's part of the experience that you want all your players to have. And honestly, some of them enjoy that more. They actually like the travel. And, you know, we change up roommates all the time, you know, who you're staying with in the hotel room. So they all get to know each other. But some, like, love it. Now, some are in their comfort zone.
Right.
They like their own bed. And, you know, but for the most part, the ability to travel and explore the country is a piece of what you get to do as a college athlete.
Right, and that's what the high school athletes look forward to, or transfers, I suppose. That's what they look forward to when they come to play college athletics, right?
Yeah, when you get into Big Sky Conference play, we are exploring the whole left side of the United States, is what we say. Not every state, but most of the states, we will be in those areas. So, yes, like, for example, we have several girls from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were freshmen last year. They had no clue. They had never been to Portland, Oregon, and Montana, Idaho. So that's just not, you know, where their families are from. So I think, you know, if you ask them some of their favorite cities and things, like, it's just now they have new places. So, yeah, it's all part of the experience that we want them to, you know, just we want that college experience to be fun, enjoyable, memorable, and that's part of that with the travel.
UNC women's basketball coach Kristen Mateo is with us. Let's talk a little bit about the Air Force game on Saturday. 68-60, your club fell a little bit short, and it seemed like, as so often can happen, one quarter can often be the difference, and it was probably the second quarter for you guys.
Yeah, I want to say it's one quarter. It was all throughout the game.
Yeah.
You know, we had opportunities to really get the lead, And we actually watched the whole game as a team. We took two sections on Monday and two parts of our day to actually go back and just really reevaluate everything. And yes, the game was tied multiple times, or it's a 1-point game. We never punched through and took that lead, and a real learning opportunity for us, because there's some maturity behind being in those moments, being on the road, and having an opportunity to actually walk away with the win. And so we got a lot we're still cleaning up. I'm excited about kind of the upside of where, because I just believe we have still yet to tap into who we truly are as a team. And again, we have some veterans, and then we have some young ladies like a Tatum West, who's a freshman for us this year. You know, she had 8 points the other night at Air Force, but also she stayed in foul trouble the whole game. So there's a learning curve right there where we're like, okay, if we can keep her out of foul trouble, you know, she can impact the game, and we can walk away with more rebounds, more points, and more impact on the game. So there's moments like that, like I said, that we just have players that haven't even peaked to where they need to be, and that's the exciting piece.
Yeah, and I would think, I mean, you look at potentially the way the game went, 20 points in the first half, then you rebound with 40 points in the second. Do you as a coach look at those positives and say, yeah, we didn't win, and that's the goal, but at the same time, we are making progress, and that's also a part of the journey.
Yeah, and we talked about, you know, just being aggressive right off the bat, and I thought we shied away. I mean, we evaluated the very first possession of the game. Hannah was wide open behind the three-point line, and she's like, oh, I thought we were going to run our first play or whatever. No, take the three.
Right.
You shoot it. You know, we're one of the best three-point shooters in our league.
Yep.
Take the three. Be aggressive early. Take those risks. And that was the message to our team, is don't hold back. Like, you know, you got to come out of the gates firing.
Do you give Hannah the green light to shoot pretty much any time?
Hannah has any color light you want to give her. I mean, she's earned the opportunity.
Yeah.
She's earned this opportunity to shoot it, and she shoots it at an elite level. And she has through her entire career. It's not like something we built to. She's gotten better and better at just coming off action and reading things. But she is one of the best three-point shooters in our conference, and if not the best three-point shooter in our conference. Now, she has a teammate named Delaney Byrne.
That's
who's
right.
Shooting it about 51% right now, too.
Yeah.
But Hannah, you know, everybody has to kind of bring something to the table, and her ability to shoot has been elite. You know, I've coached her this is my third year now, and it's just elite at what she does, but her work ethic is elite, and her preparation is elite, and time that she spends in the gym.
I suppose it's different for every individual player, but at what point did you, with Hannah, realize, I can trust her. I can trust her to make good decisions and, for the most part, take good shots and do all the right things?
Well, really, right when I got there,
yeah.
I trusted her, because she chose, you know, when we took over the program, there's a lot of changes. There's a lot of players that transferred out and left, and the trust was that she stayed, and she gave us a fighting chance to coach her, and she's been an all-conference player, and she's led our team in scoring the last couple of years. So I think there's a trust built, because one is just how she conducts herself. And it's not just basketball. It's academics. It's her leadership. We have a leadership team. She's on our leadership team, of course. I mean, she's the voice in our team and in our locker room. So the trust was natural and easy.
Yeah, her teammates look to her.
Mm-hmm.
How does
Absolutely.
That play out sometimes?
I think last year we had a lot of freshmen. So now we still have a lot of sophomores. They need that guidance. They need, you know, we say leadership is influence, and she has an influence by the way she shows up. First one in the gym, last to leave, and locker room talk. So she's an encourager by nature. She's a little bit of a people pleaser, too, sometimes to her fault. But I love that about her, because she has this servant's heart about her, too. So a lot of great qualities that you want in a player. And if we could clone her and make 20 of her or 15 or whatever, you know, I would do it, because she just represents – you know, we talk about a blue-collar gold standard. She just a work ethic, but then a level of excellence of how she prepares.
We are live at the GOAT Sports Bar in Greeley. We're talking UNC women's basketball with head coach Kristen Mateo. And you mentioned Delaney Byrne. I mean, you can't overlook – I know you don't overlook her, but, I mean, she and Hannah together, what a duo. I mean, what a luxury as a coach, right?
I personally think Delaney is one of the best players in our conference.
Yeah.
Because of what she can do. She can rebound. She can give us some production in the paint, but she can also shoot the three. And there's not very many 6'2 forwards in our league that shoot the three like she does. And then she, when we first got her here several years ago, she never wanted to put the ball on the floor. Now she's more aggressive. She's putting it on the floor like a guard. So just her game has expanded. Her confidence in her own game has expanded. And, yeah, you can see why she's doing what she's doing.
So in the same respect, does she have any kind of light that she wants?
Yes, they both do. they both, absolutely. And again, their stats don't lie. The stats show, you know, her ability. She's averaging almost 8 rebounds a game. She's our leading scorer, I think, right now. And like I said, she's shooting 51% from the three, which is better than a lot of people shoot in the paint.
That's incredible.
To, you know, how close they are to the rim. So her work ethic is unlike, you know, it's just like Candace. They just show up every day. And, yeah, Delaney's one of our leaders, too, on our team.
Yeah.
And so we're really fortunate to have her.
That's awesome. We are with UNC Women's Basketball Coach Kristen Mateo. We are live at the GOAT Sports Bar. Good crowd on hand. All the games cranked up. You got drink specials and terrific food as well. We'll welcome in men's coach Steve Smiley coming up at 6:30. We'll be here until 7. We'll take a quick timeout on the Bank of Colorado Coaches Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into the GOAT Sports Bar, 46th Avenue and Center Place in Greeley. Always good to be here on Tuesday nights between 6 and 7 for the Bank of Colorado Coaches Show. We'll talk men's basketball with head coach Steve Smiley about 10, 15 minutes away, and then we'll also finish up here with women's basketball coach Kristen Mateo. We were just talking the holidays. Do you at all get a chance to catch your breath and enjoy them? I mean, just for 5 minutes even?
We get 4 days off over Christmas.
Yeah.
So I do have a Christmas tree up.
Nice.
It went up on Sunday.
Okay.
And we have a Christmas party planned for our team.
Nice.
Next Monday.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. We're going to do like a little gift exchange. You know, with the college girls, you got to keep it like $20.
Right.
Or less. That's about all they're going to spend.
Yeah, you got to keep it $20 or less, but you know, now there's NIL collectives and all this. I mean, sometimes that's a whole nother
topic.
That's
what I told them. They have money. I know they have money.
It is a different world, though, in that respect, isn't it? And you, I mean, you have to stay up with that and be a part of it in order to keep up. Is that sort of where we're at
in
the sport?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We just announced a collective this past week or so, I guess.
Yep.
And which is great for UNC, great for our athletes, especially female athletes that have an opportunity to make some money on the side. I know it's different, but I've come around to it mostly because I coach a female sport.
Right.
And it's much harder to go on and play professionally and make money. So we have several girls that have NIL deals and do a great job of earning extra money on the side, and I think it's great for them.
Yeah, I mean, and regardless of whether coaches like it, fans like it, that's the way it is right now.
Absolutely.
And you fall behind if you don't take part in it, right?
Yes. Yes, and I think our athletics department has really stepped up,
yeah.
and we got several initiatives right now that we have going on to take care of our players, and it's new for them, too, that we just announced this, so they're all learning kind of the more possibilities, but some were already, you know, our players are ahead of us, probably.
Yeah.
You know, we've had several for several years now that have, you know, had good opportunities to make some money on the side.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to get a little bit on your background, if it's okay. First time I've had a chance to talk with you. Where did the love of basketball come from?
My family. You know, started with my father. I'm the oldest of five. I had a grandfather.
So they had a team.
Yeah, yes, we did have a team. They had a team. I'm the oldest of five, and then I had my dad's dad, grandfather. I told you, like, my family grew up, my dad's side, outside of Chicago.
Okay.
So huge Chicago Bulls fans when I was growing up, big Michael Jordan fan. And so my grandfather actually built my first hoop. Like, literally, he was like a craftsman. He built a backboard, put it up, everything.
Really?
Like, it wasn't store-bought. It was handmade.
Regulation size or
yeah,
mini?
Everything. No, no, it was a real hoop.
Okay.
Like, real hoop. Designed it and everything.
It's incredible.
And created all of that. So, the love, just the love for sports, the love of competing and competition and the team setting has always been there. And somehow basketball just stuck. I think I could have played other sports, but basketball was the sport.
Did any of your siblings take to basketball?
A few, but none like what I did. Nobody outlasted me.
Really?
I mean, they played in high school,
yeah.
but that was about it. Nothing like past that.
So how many brothers and sisters?
I have two other sisters, two other brothers.
Okay.
Yep.
So could you beat your brothers, honestly?
We had a lot of dogfights.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, when they got to about 15, 16, not that they weren't beating me, but, you know, it got more physical.
You weren't backing
down.
I knew
I could only throw a few more punches before it was going to I couldn't do it anymore.
And then when you got into college, you're like, I got to pursue this at some point, in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. I loved it. It gave me an opportunity to pay for my education.
Yep.
And you know, I won championships throughout college. So to me, I've just been blessed, even high school, college, just to win and be a part of winning. And then obviously as a coach, you know, you want that for all your players too, to have that experience of doing something, you know, that you're the only team that does that season.
We're with UNC women's basketball coach Kristen Mateo here at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. I know one of your stops as an assistant was at Fort Lewis, and the Skyhawks were, what, top three in the country when you were there?
Yeah, we played in the national championship game when we were at Fort Lewis. That was 2010.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
So starting in Colorado, you know.
Was that the start of your coaching career?
I started at Montana State, actually.
Okay.
But at Fort Lewis, you know, it was just Durango, Colorado is special if you've never been to Durango. And just kind of, it's isolated, but it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. The campus is up on the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just the town in general, the river that runs through it, all the restaurants and everything. It's just unique. It's different. There's not a lot of chain restaurants there. So, but, yeah, a great experience. And, honestly, I'm still connected to a lot of those players to this day. A lot of them are high school coaches.
Wow.
So, you know, I left the state of Colorado and was in Texas for 8 years. And now coming back, it's really cool because several are high school coaches. And I'm like, let's do this. Let's go find more Colorado kids and win some championships.
Yeah, and Colorado girls basketball traditionally over the years has been pretty good. Yeah,
absolutely. There's Power 5 players all the way down.
Yeah.
But for us at our level, you know, there's a lot of opportunity, which is mid-major level, to find really talented, skilled, you know, female athletes here.
When you started in coaching, did you think you would be in it long term? Or did you hope you'd be in it long term?
When I started, it's because I didn't think I could do anything else but be around the game of basketball. All my degrees are in business. So, yes, I could do other things, but I just loved it.
Yeah.
I literally passionately loved the work side of it. I loved what I had to do as a player to prepare. And so actually becoming a coach was hard at first, to not be out there on the court with everybody and having to do it, communicate from the sidelines was actually one of the toughest things, you know, outside of going through an identity crisis when you're no longer a player. So I didn't really want to go sit in a desk all day long. I love the college setting because you are in a professional setting. You do have an office and a desk and you're traveling and there's a lot of, you manage a budget, but then you're on the court too. The other part of the day. So you have the best of both worlds.
How do you try and communicate as a coach to your player and your next player, as you said, the concepts and to try and shape them into understanding what you want done and what you see through now different eyes?
Yeah, that's the challenge. Every player thinks differently. And so it's connecting one-on-one. I'm visual, so I teach visual. I teach with, you know, whether it's, you know, on the court, breaking stuff down or watching film. So every kid does learn differently.
Yeah.
And some need extra one-on-one time. Others are fine. You can spit information out, and they can adapt and adjust quickly. So, yeah, that's the – I wish I knew the golden answer to all of that. But it takes time. You have to build relationships and see really what every player's needs are.
UNC women's basketball coach Kristen Mateo is our guest on the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show. And you mentioned Delaney Byrne earlier in our first segment, becoming a really good three-point shooter. When you see a player develop like that, how gratifying is it?
Well, Delaney was already really good.
Yeah.
She was good in high school.
Then did I have it backwards? She developed part of her game. Was it the inside presence?
She now puts the ball on the
floor.
Puts
the ball on the floor. There you go. There you go.
Because of her length, size, and height, she can do a lot.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get comfortable with, this is my strength. And it doesn't actually just have to be one thing. Last season, you know, the first half of the year, she really just tried to live behind the three-point line.
Yep.
The second half, where, you know, we started posting her up and making her do more. You know, she went from averaging 12 or so points to almost 20 points. And that's what we were telling her, the difference. You can make a couple threes or, you know, offensive rebounds, you know, posting you up a little bit. So she began to just see the game a little bit differently and now even just has expanded her game. So when I say off the dribble, that means she's able to attack now from the three-point line, whereas at first I don't think she really wanted to do that. Now it's gratifying that she can be more of a playmaker and disperse the ball a little bit too.
Would you expect that as conference goes on and more teams realize her versatility, I mean, you're going to force the other coach to deal with everything she can do.
Delaney doesn't like the limelight, even though we try to push her out there. She's perfectly fine, you know, but I still go back to she's still kind of a secret in our league, and I still believe she's one of the best players in our conference with what she can do in her overall. There's nobody like Delaney in our league, and that's what I love about her, and that's what makes her special.
And then your challenge, I guess, is how do I maximize everything based on matchup, based on, you know, game situations? Is that the chess match that you enjoy of coaching?
Yeah, and even going back with Delaney, because you can use her in a lot of different ways, but also just protecting her body.
Yeah.
She's played a lot of years now, played a lot of minutes, and making sure we keep everybody fresh. But, yeah, I think it was even the other night in the Air Force game, there's a chess match of understanding we need paint production, understanding, you know, like we didn't shoot the three well. Hannah and Delaney got some open looks early on. Normally, those go down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's adjustments and flows all throughout the game.
Final moments with Kristen Mateo, UNC head women's basketball coach. Utah State on the road this Saturday. Give us a little scouting report.
Yeah, they got length, size. They've struggled a little bit. Now they're playing better. They just played BYU really close the other day, which is, you know, typically they're pretty talented team. But they have about 6 or 7 kids over 6 foot. So, and then everybody's like 5'10 and 5'11. So I relished this opportunity just to go on the road, play again. I want to get this taste of Air Force out of my mouth, to be honest, out of my heart. I want these kids to experience success. And today we had a great practice in prep for this week, and a lot of it's built off of just toughness and fighting through things and understanding that there's going to be a fight, their physical and mental fight. And so as we get ready for Utah State, really, because we have such a long time to prepare, the first couple of days it's about us and focusing on us. And then really we haven't talked a lot about them, but tomorrow we'll start blending in some of Utah State. And again, you're on the road, so we always say expect the unexpected. I don't know what to expect, but we'll expect something and go out there and hope to get that win.
It's all basketball now, too. No studies for a few weeks.
It's awesome. It's like they're pros right now.
Yeah, that is great. It's great to see you. Thanks for making time for us. Thanks for coming down to the GOAT. And all the best as the pre-conference season, the non-conference wraps up, and especially against Utah State this weekend.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Appreciate it.
Hey, Coach is going to be around just a minute or so longer. She's going to help us out with some drawings. We've got some good raffle prizes, some UNC swag, as we like to say. So we'll be giving that away up until 7 o'clock. We are at the GOAT for the UNC Coaches Show, 46th Avenue and Center Place. Stay with us back after a short timeout on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Into the GOAT for the UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado. Great to be down here in Greeley, 46th Avenue and Center Place. Really cool to catch up with UNC women's head coach Kristen Mateo. The Bears at Utah State in women's play Saturday, 2 o'clock tip. They'll be on the road at CU on Thursday the 21st, at Northern Arizona Saturday, December 30th, at Oral Roberts on Wednesday, January 3rd, and finally back home on Saturday, January 6th against DU. Great to welcome in men's head coach Steve Smiley. How are you, Steve?
Here we go. Everyone's good. Things are good. You know, things are good. We got the glasses.
Yeah, you brought your glasses this week.
Last time I couldn't read the numbers, and so I brought the glasses. And then with it being the Bank of Colorado show, I brought the Bank of Colorado hat.
There you go.
Got to show love.
So,
things are good, man. Things are good.
Well, yeah, they're good. And I'm gathering you were able to sleep off a tough one yesterday down in Commerce, Texas. Double overtime loss, 101-99. How did you process that one? How did you see it?
Well, you know, in terms of sleep, I mean, we didn't pull back home until 1 in the morning, so – you know, and I can't just, like, show up at home and just go crawl. I try to go crawl in bed, but I don't fall asleep. So sleep was terrible last night. I'd be lying otherwise.
Yeah.
But, you know, just in terms of processing it, we had a long day because, we played in the morning. Our flight wasn't until 10 p.m. at night. We actually went to a mall to let the guys just kind of walk around for about 2.5 hours. So I was in the food court in the middle of Dallas
in
some random mall and just cutting film and trying to process. So, you know, you just – It's disappointing because I thought we played really well.
Yeah.
We thought we played really hard. This team always plays hard. We didn't do enough to just solidify the outcome. And we were up 4 with 20 seconds to go. But to be honest, we just would have been a little bit cleaner. It would have been 8, 10, 12 points. And so that's the disappointing part about it. But, I told the guys, like, I'm really proud of them. I feel good in the big picture. We're not thrilled that, you know, that we lost that game, but just got to keep moving.
Yeah, you got to keep moving. And, I mean, you think of little things, I would imagine. And St. Thomas has done so much for you guys.
Yeah.
Up three with 12 seconds left in regulation, one free throw. I would imagine Saint's the kind of player, I got to bury that free throw.
Oh, yeah. You know, and we look at it, too. Like, to get the ball in bounds, full court, we're up, you know, with whatever, 15 seconds. We got it in. We were having a tough time getting the ball across half court, so we burned a timeout.
Right.
Turned to the sideline. And really the goal is to get the ball to Saint, who was shooting 77%, and probably now he's almost up to 80%, which is like fifth in the league. Or DeJour, who's shooting, I think, 84, 85%, which is second in the league. So I'm going to play the odds as much as I can. So we got the ball in the right guy's hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was 9 for 11 in the game, and he missed that one. But, you know, it's just one of those things where he expects to make the shot, and sometimes, you know, they just don't go in.
Steve, I want you touched on the sleep aspect last night, and you've said this before, that after a game you can't turn off the off switch doesn't go. How do you handle things post game, win or lose? Is there a routine that you have?
Yeah, there's about four things I do. And it's nice when the games are earlier, even like a 2 o'clock start on Saturday, because I can get through the progression a little bit quicker. But I'm typically going to watch the whole thing and cut it up into my own little, you know, whatever I think I want to show the guys the next day. But I need to watch the whole thing in flow. I just have to see what happened, good, bad, you know, the whole thing. After that, we have different things that we grade as a staff. You know, one guy's got offensive rebound, one guy's got defensive rebounding. One guy charts every shot defensively for us. One guy charts every shot offensively for us. My job is to chart shot quality. So I pull up we have all the clips already cut. So I pull up the offensive clips and I grade our entire game on offensive shot quality. Get through that. Then I'll watch all the defense and flow. I'll do that. And then I'll take all the offensive clips. I'll dump them into my big organizer. And now I'll start to label them into all the different, whether it's sets, actions, concepts. I think that's at like 23 gigabytes right now.
Wow.
Those get really big. But those are goldmine. Like that's we can access the stuff when we need to. And it takes a lot of time, but it's worth it. And so, like I said, it takes three or four different attacks at it. By the time I get through the whole thing, I'm taking notes the whole time. Then I can eventually put it to bed. But at a bare minimum, I've got to at least get through that first cut. I've got to watch the game before I shut it down, go to bed, or whatever it is. I can't just say, I'll go watch it tomorrow. That just doesn't work for me.
You want the instant sort of what did I think I saw during the game, and what did I actually see on tape?
Yep, I just have to see it. You know, in the bus, Coach Campbell, my video coach, who does a great job, he's sitting there, offense, defense, off clipping everything.
Wow.
You know? And so he's manually doing that. But we also have the raw file. So while he's doing that takes a while when you play a double overtime game.
Yeah.
I was like, give me the raw file so I could just watch what happened the last 4 minutes of regulation plus the overtimes. There's so many situations in those, you know, 13 to 14 minutes, and we certainly didn't execute all of them right. I blew a couple, you know, and I will certainly take responsibility for that. But you learn, and you can't make the same mistake twice, right? That's the big thing.
Steve Smiley is with us, UNC men's basketball coach. We're at the GOAT for the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show. So that whole process post-game takes you typically, what, 2 to 3 hours longer? If you were to sit down and do it from start to finish.
6 to 8.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So a lot of times it goes into the next morning.
Oh, yeah, the whole next day, yeah. You know, I'm still working on it right now as we get ready for practice tomorrow. So by today, now keep in mind we finished about 1 o'clock yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't finish putting the sets and the concepts into my offensive organizer until about 10 a.m. today.
Yeah.
And I was working all day yesterday on the bus, in the mall, on the plane, on the bus ride home until about 1 in the morning. Got up, did a couple other things, and then finished up those clips. No, it takes, you know, I'd say minimum 6, but probably closer to 10 hours.
And that's so you know, okay, here you just have a full grasp of what went on in that game.
Yeah, you know, you also look for trends. I mean, I also was looking, you know, we have different reports that shows I know what our best three offensive lineups are. I know what our best three defensive lineups are. I know what our worst offensive lineups are. And those change after every game.
Yeah.
So you're kind of looking at it saying, okay, are we playing the right dudes? When we need to stop, like, and so all that information, you know, again, you can do information overload too, right?
Yes.
But getting the progression that is comfortable for me. I just got to attack it, and then I can put it to bed and move on. Now, if we play the next day, I got to cut some stuff out. But we don't play CU till Friday, so working on that yesterday into today, I knew I could spend all today. I've already cut one CU game. I watched a CU-CSU game just before I got over here. I'll watch one more tonight. And so now I'm pretty deep into CU by this point in time, but it depends on how much time you got in between games too.
So being deep into CU, you're not going to sleep for a couple of days.
No. I mean, they're good. I know when to cut it off.
Right.
Yeah, I'll have nightmares.
Right.
I'll sleep, but I'll have some nightmares too. So.
Well, yeah, that's awesome. And then lastly on this topic, how do you, and maybe it's experience, but how do you get a feel for what do I bring to the guys, what do I leave out,
yeah.
What do I tailor based on, you know, whom we're playing next?
That's the hardest part. It's easy to do all this stuff and create your stats and all that's fine. But less is more with the guys.
Right.
You know, now we don't have class right now. We just finished finals, so we have a little bit more flexibility in schedule. So we gave them today off. I mean, we were at UNC at 6 a.m. Sunday to fly to Dallas to drive to Commerce. So that was an early morning, and then yesterday was a really long day. So I gave them today off. We had some guys play 43 minutes yesterday.
Right.
The guys that didn't play or played low minutes, they still got a lift and a workout in, but no team stuff today. Anyways, so tomorrow I'll show them. Right now it's at about 40 clips. I'll probably cut it to 30, but I can get through that in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
I'll show about 20 to 25 minutes of film.
And are those possessions? Is that what you're showing them?
Different possessions. This time it's different possessions. Some good, some bad.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a little bit of everything. And this sometimes I do it in flow to kind of flow through the game. Sometimes I'll cut offense, defense situations. But I'm just going to flow this one through tomorrow. We'll watch that, put it to bed, start practicing for CU. We'll watch live CU film afterwards. And now we're moving on.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. He's in the barn, man.
It's in the barn, but
yep.
How long realistically will you hang on to that? I mean, that's just a tough game.
Years.
Really?
Yeah, no, oh, yeah. Yeah. I can still – it's the losses. I mean, I can still remember when I was at Sheridan Junior College and we lost to a team called the Wyoming All-Stars. I can still remember that. We were up 39-10 and lost. So
that's not good, Coach.
It's not good, man, especially when you put together the All-Star team with a bunch of your former college teammates.
Wow.
And they're supposed to understand what the deal is. So, but, no, I mean, you think about, you know, that in-the-game situation. We played North Dakota here. When they were in the Big Sky, when I was here with Coach Linder, we fouled. We were up 3. They made the free throw. They missed the second. They got the offensive rebound. They tipped it in. I can still remember that like it was yesterday. Now Andre Spidey, who's maybe one of the best players that ever played here, he had about a 50-footer in overtime to win it for us. But you think about those situations,
yeah.
and you own those. You know.
Well, and it was the other other way around yesterday. The Lions fouled Jaren late when they were up 3.
And that's what we were supposed to do, too. We screwed it up. That's on me. We screwed it up. And really, not to get too technical, but they called a timeout. We were up 3. Sane had 3 fouls. And a lot can still happen. And so we're like, look, we call it Geronimo. We're going to foul him. Okay? 9-10 seconds. Don't let it get past half court. The only guy that's not fouling is Sane.
Yeah.
So somebody else fouled. As luck would have it, he missed the free throw. On the rebound, he got matched up with the guy with the ball. And we told him, don't foul. That's where I screwed up.
Okay.
Because we said, you know, if he fouls now, he's at 4. Who knows? He gets his 5th foul. We can't have him out of the game. So we should have said, you know what? If you're on it, just foul him because he would have the discipline to not get that 5th foul. That's where I screwed up. So he doesn't foul. They come down. Now they're in the danger territory. They do that flip play to, you know, to their 5. It's the first shot he made all game from 3. And it never should have happened. And so that's why you own that. I'll think about that play 10 years from now.
Wow.
42 right now. 52, I promise you, I will still think about that play. That's why it's a love-hate relationship with this profession, right?
It really is. I love what you said on your text, tough way to make a living.
It's hard, man.
It really is.
It's a great way, but it's hard.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly right. UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley with us on the Bank of Colorado postgame show. We are coach's show, not postgame show, although it's kind of postgame.
It's still postgame.
It is, and it's also pregame for Friday. We will be here until 7 o'clock. Steve is going to draw for a mug and a keychain, and we will be back to the GOAT in a moment on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We are at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. Love being down here for the Bank of Colorado UNC Coaches Show every Tuesday night from 6 to 7. We are talking men's basketball with head coach Steve Smiley. Well, we talked about the loss in Commerce, and You referenced the next challenge, which is the Colorado Buffaloes on Friday down in Boulder. I mean, Steve, the win they had on Sunday, they dismantled number 15 Miami by 27 on a neutral court.
Without their projected top five lottery pick.
Cody Williams.
Yeah, Cody Williams. So, you know, I have not watched that game. That's what I'm watching after the show tonight.
I decided
I decided to get some positivity and some confidence, so I watched CSU dismantle them, you know, probably about, 2 weeks ago now? So I watched the CSU-CU game and watch that, you know, common opponent, kind of see what they're doing and see how CSU got it done, because I think CSU's great, but CU's talent is phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, their team was really good last year, and you throw, you know, Cody Williams. Now, he did not play against Miami. He's got the wrist injury. No one knows if he's going to play. You know, unofficial reports via Twitter say he's not going to play, which you can't put any stock into that. But so we'll see. But, no, that, you know, Coach Boyle obviously is local and good friend of mine. He does a great job.
He does.
You know, what was interesting in the CSU game, they really struggled. I mean, CSU was up 15.5. And Coach Boyle scrapped the offensive system, went to a continuity ball screen, kind of got him back into it. And my scouting coach for this game, you know, Coach Brett Klofel, he's already watched six of their games. He said from that CSU game, from that second half, all they're doing now is the continuity ball screen, and it's working. So it'll be interesting for me to now watch the Miami game and see how they're attacking offensively. But it's not just their talent, but their size is just, it's real. Their length, their size, their athleticism. It's going to be a great challenge.
I mean, you think of a guy like Tristan Da Silva, whom many are projecting to be playing at the next level real soon, and KJ Simpson. I mean, they've got guys, I mean, aside from Cody Williams, that just make them – where do you start in trying to break them down and decide what to try to take away and all that good stuff?
I don't have a lot yet. You know, obviously, like I said, Da Silva's a matchup nightmare because they play him at the three because they play Javon Hadley at the four. Most people can't match up. I do think that, you know, we have a very unique roster because we have St. Thomas at the three. And that helps out a lot. Now, we only have one of those guys.
And so they've got like four.
There's going to be some mismatches. But, you know, I think in the big picture, the grand scheme of things, you look at it, I think we'll have a good plan, you know, to guard them and do this and that. We'll get the ball to come off the rim enough. The issue is the rebounding. You look at their analytics, they're like top five in the country in offensive rebounding and top five in the country in defensive rebounding.
Wow.
And that's where it becomes a problem. That your first shot defense could be elite, but they know how big they are with those guys. Eddie Lampkin, said Hadley, that it's very hard to not just get them to miss, but to get them to miss and to secure the majority of the rebounds. Now, we've been – right now we're one of the best teams in the country in defensive rebounding. So – it's going to put our system to a test, kind of like what Northridge did. But we're excited for it. You know, we're going to learn a lot about our team out of this game.
Do you at all play up the we're playing the big dogs? And I mean, does that and it's an in-state big dog? Does that even factor in for your players?
It is cool. Yeah. You know, obviously it's really cool for our local guys. You know, I think last year too, with us beating CSU last year and almost beating them 2 years ago. And to be honest, like that CU game was like a 5-point game last year with about 6 minutes to go. I mean, we had him on the ropes, so Matt Johnson had a shot that he had just hit the same. We went repeater mode. Matt hit a shot. We ran the same thing. He got the same look. He hits that cut to two. Who knows? He did not hit it. And they came down. They made it three and got it back to eight. But, you know, we had it. It was a very, very respectable showing. So, with that being said, our team right now is not scoring as easily as last year's team. And you're going to have to score. Now, we did just score 99 points, and we had our best offensive game of the year yesterday, and it started looking good. You know, Jaron had 8 assists. Saint, I think he's second or third in the league in assists. DeJour had 30 points. Things are starting to connect together. What we can't have happen is we can't let our defense slip. We got to get better at that. But you're going to have to go out there and outscore them. You're not going to score 52 points and beat them. They've been scoring it pretty good this year. So it's going to be fun, but no, our guys are excited. Plus, I mean, you know, they'll probably be a ranked team, top 25 team, and it's a great challenge.
It is a great challenge. Steve Smiley, UNC men's basketball coach, with us here live at the GOAT in Greeley for the UNC Coaches Show. Do you at all look a little bit ahead and think about Big Sky Conference play? I mean, at the end of the month, you open up here against Northern Arizona.
A couple weeks away, So, I mean, you know, you obviously don't overlook CU or overlook Air Force. I mean, the next challenge is the next challenge. But in the grand scheme, going all the way back to June 1st, you're finally almost the league play. And you can say whatever you want to say, but, you know, all of our records are going to be different. They don't matter, you know, because we're all 0-0. I mean, Eastern Washington right now is 2-7. They are one of the best teams in the league. I'm telling you right now, they're 2-7 because they've played every – it's like our schedule last year. So the key, though, is your team mentally beat up? I don't think my team is. Now, we got to really attack this, these last two games and then have a great, you know, four-day break where the guys get a chance to go home. But I just look at it, and it's like, you know, when you get to the Big Sky, as long as your guys have the right mental, you know, mental mindset, we should be in a good spot.
I was going to say, do you have a feel, based on this year's results, where you might stack up in conference, or is it just too hard to know?
Honestly, I mean, I know it's the easy way out, but I think we're all pretty much equal.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, you know, Weber's picked to win it. They've had some good wins. They've had some losses that you can kind of scratch your head at. They play at Wyoming on Saturday. We'll see how that goes with my good friend Coach Linder and see how that is. That should be a really good game. But they're good. But it's not like they're just running away with the league. The team that's running away right now is Portland State. They're 8-2. But they've kind of done the same thing as us, but they've made two or three buzzer-beating shots. If we do that, we're 7-2 right now.
Well, you've had two road losses by 2 points each, San Diego, yep, and then to the Lions.
Well, and New Mexico State.
Well, that's right. That's a five-point game.
Yeah, and so we've lost three road games by a combined 9 points, true road games, to places where you usually don't win. And so you look at it, it's like we're right there. But your players got to believe you're right there.
Do they? Do your guys?
I think so. And I think that's the biggest thing I'm concerned about. And we'll see tomorrow at practice that we haven't lost our swagger and our juice and our confidence because, man, we had a lot of that into that Commerce game. And so, you know, there's no time for feeling sorry for yourself because you feel sorry for yourself in Boulder on Friday night, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah. So who do you look to given all the new faces and given a roster that I would imagine is still trying to come together a little bit? Mm-hmm. Who do you look to sort of make sure and lead the way in that locker room to say, guys, we're right, we're fine, we're okay?
Yeah, I think it's collective. I mean, in terms of, like, the more vocal, extroverted guys, those are guys would be, like, Saint. To some degree, Jaron. Riley will talk. Langston. You know, but we have some other quieter guys. DeJour, Brock, guys are a little bit quieter.
Yeah.
But it's all the same thing. Like, it's more collective with this group.
It's going to be fun on Friday night.
It's going to be fun.
Thanks for coming down, okay, as always.
Hey, Mike, thank you. Appreciate it.
Head coach Steve Smiley of the UNC men's basketball team. Bears against the Buffs from the CU Event Center. Tip at 6 on Friday. Airtime at 5:30 right here. Thanks for joining us in person and on the air for the UNC Coaches Show, presented each Tuesday night at 6 at the GOAT by Bank of Colorado. Join us next week on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Good night.